Welcome to The Ether. Today is Wednesday, December 22nd, 2021. This is the Anchor AMA, hosted by Donku, Ryan, and a bunch of other friends. There was a bunch of technical difficulties, so if you hear weird cuts, it's because Twitter apparently did not want them doing this space. So we fixed it as best we could. Let's take a listen.
Testing.
Your test is working, mister.
Thank you, Mr. Donku.
How are you?
I am doing very well. It is a bright, freezing morning. Oh, it's actually not freezing. It's even colder than freezing. It's like negative 14 where I am. So.
Well, negative 14 in which way? In
Celsius. Celsius. Yeah, Celsius. It is 6 Fahrenheit.
That's really cold. I mean, it's cold for me over here as well in Germany, but it's around zero.
Yeah.
So, not even close.
Yeah, this is actually warm for Minnesota. It's surprisingly warm at this time of year. But anyways.
Why do you do it in Celsius? Or is it just that you know that I'm from Germany and that's why you recalculated?
I'm originally from Australia, so I think in Celsius. And I try to pretend that not everyone's American and not everyone knows American ways. I still haven't fully converted to we are one world under America. And I should stop that before I start getting into trouble with other people.
Celsius, even as an American, Celsius just makes more sense, right? Zero is freezing.
Look, next you're going to say that miles are, you know, a bad way of doing things as well, in this metric system.
But no, it was cold here in Mexico this morning compared to what it normally is. It was like 15 degrees, which is pretty cold for down here.
Yeah, tell me more. Vidnate is muted for me. I have problems hearing him.
Yeah, well, there was one guy we have, Kane, he might be on here sometime. He was complaining that was going to be hitting 45 on Christmas time. So, welcome to Western Australia.
There you go. Mr. Ryan is also joining us, right?
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Got Zion on. Awesome. What a all-star panel. So we're just waiting for Ryan Lyon, who hopefully will hop on soon.
Is he posting GIFs again? Do we hit another all-time high?
Yeah.
He's just, pre-scheduling.
He might be lost in the charts right now.
I'm sorry. Somebody on the internet is wrong. I'll be right back.
I think we got Ryan Lyon on now. It should be.
Good morning, there. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
There he is.
Good morning.
We were just thinking about if you did pre-schedule now a few tweets, Ryan, if you have the juice to be focused here.
Yeah, it's been a crazy couple of days, eh?
What a great couple of days. I'm running out of gifts, so if anyone on this call wants to make me any special gifts, please do feel free to send them over to me.
I thought you'd just reuse that South Park one all the time, but...
it can get a bit much in the timeline there. If it's several times a day.
hey Brian, can we commission somebody for Luna 100?
I know, we need some, like, honestly, people need to be drumming up some new creativity at 100. Come on, like, it's been a long time coming, and they've got their pockets full now, so they should be able to sit back and really be creative here.
That, and
is
I see Sumo
in here? Crypto PB, is he in here? I don't know. I don't see him because he needs to come up with one of those great videos again, right? With the pump it up, but then a special version for the 100. That would be amazing. Maybe he's doing something.
I think he's been working on something, but maybe it snuck up on him a little bit quicker than they expected.
Problems, right? First world problems, I guess.
Yeah, well, yeah. I think maybe it's about time to kick it off. Ryan Lyon and Donku, I just want to thank you guys for hosting our third annual Anchor AMA. It's lovely to have you both here. Such great hosts, such great community members. And like we said, what an exciting time to be doing this with Luna teetering right at that 100 level.
Wild times. And thank you again for the invitation to hosting this one here. Last time I had a feeling it was very much Danko focused in terms of hosting. So Mr. Ryan, I'm more than happy to, for the first time, co-host something with you. So I give you here the first steps to feel free to hosting it.
I think we can just rip off each other. Thank you. That's all good. I don't have the host privilege here, so I can't see who's queued up to ask questions.
Ah, you're right.
So you might have to lead from that perspective. But you know, I was on the last call that you and Joe hosted, and you know, it's a real privilege to be here up here with all the guys from Anchor. Similar to yourself, it's the first, one of the first apps and one of the apps that really kind of dragged me into the Terra ecosystem, and it's a real privilege to be here with everyone today.
There you go. So yeah, I'm putting people up here. We have little JJ in here and Danny. I see Danny as a speaker because JJ is still connecting. So Danny, if you can hear us and unmute, feel free to go.
Hi guys. Hope everyone's well, and congratulations on 95, 97 even. But my question is, I guess, quite a simple one and probably quite an old one that you've heard quite a lot. But my simple question is, what happens when the deposits on Anchor exceed the borrowed amount? So is there like some sort of reserves? I've heard about Mars Protocol being a protocol that might help with this, but I just want some more clarification as I'm trying to get some sort of big boomers on board. So obviously they'd like that clarification too. And my second question is...
Are you talking more about the yield reserve here? I just want to make sure.
Yeah. So yeah, the yield reserve basically. So what happens when the depositors exceed the amount of yield reserve that is available? Yeah, that's simply my question.
Cool. Who wants to take it? Nate or Ian or Ryan? I think we lost Nate.
No, I think Ryan, you want to talk about that? I mean, it probably goes to the mechanics of the system.
Yeah. So I guess the question is related to the recent droppings and the yield reserve. So like before all of this, like I think it's very worth noting, like if you make the calculations, if you do the calculations based on like current metrics and everything, which are visible on dashboards. So like Anchor is like, even not accounting for the subsidies, Anchor is currently able to support just from the borrowing demand and like the staking rewards it gets from the B asset, like B Luna and B ETH collaterals. Like it's able to support like a 17 to like 18% deposit APY, which means there's only like a 2 or 3% difference target compared to like the threshold deposit APY of like 19.5. So like I believe like this difference, although I cannot say for sure, like it's really up to like market dynamics, but with the addition of a couple new collaterals, like this borrowing demand that has been missing can definitely be supplemented.
So
I think we
lost Nate. One more question, Ryan, that you can maybe elaborate, because I think Danny's question is good in terms of, and if you're just onboarding new here on Anchor in general and in Terra, can you elaborate on, let's say today the yield reserve would be zero, right? Kind of, I think you hinted at this already, but what would be the APY? I think this is very important also to talk about.
Oh, like with current metrics, very simple. It will be around 17 to 18.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. This is a good point. I don't know, Mr. Ryan Lyon, if you want to also give your 2 cents as a retail user yourself. That's, for me, was really an eye-opener, the terms of when I understood, okay, even if we hit zero, it's still far beyond two-digit APY, which is still outperforming probably any other stable yield. I don't know if you have any insights from your perspective, Ryan, and if Danny, if it makes sense for you.
Yeah, I think there's an expectation, right, that we're not going to hold at 19.5% forever. So I think as long as we can hold that, the better. And you know, there were some conversations around, I'm sure something will come on to, but utilizing the yield reserve for other things. I think the yield reserve, the longer we can sustain it, the better. It's absolutely fundamental to the success of Anchor. But as you say, you know, if we're still able to maintain, whether that be 16, 17, 18% without the yield reserve, I think that's pretty positive from my perspective.
Dan, you had a second question?
No. So just to clarify, so like 16, 17% will be held obviously through the bonded and the staked Luna that you've got. So that's sort of like a guarantee. And then the yield reserve is just the extra 2% on top. Is that correct?
Based on the current setup, that's correct. Which, yeah, of course, could also, I mean, if it outperforms the 19.5, it adds to the yield reserve, which happened in the last weeks, based on what I've seen. But feel free also, Ryan and Nate or Ian, to add there. But that would be the case, yes.
Yeah, and I was just making sure you guys can hear me now. But I was a little, yes, bit tech. Cool. Yeah. And so what I was saying, I don't know if you heard it, you know, there's a target utilization rate too, right? So that tries to incentivize more borrowing when deposits get higher. So that's something to consider too. Like there's a whole mechanism behind all of this, and there's a lot of fear out there right now about what's happening with the yield reserve. And I think it's very, very, you really need to understand that, you know, there's a lot of thought behind this, and it's already been covered pretty clearly that, you know, we're going to see this continue to work correctly.
Okay, cool. Danny, thanks so much for your question. I'm not sure who's next in line. I believe it might be Jay Crypto. Jay, do you want to come in with your question?
Thanks for having me.
We'll move on to Anthony. I think he's next in line.
Yes, thank you. There are a lot of, I think, options for depositors on Anchor to sort of insure their deposits. And, you know, you get charged anywhere from, you know, 2 to 6 up to 7% of your deposit for insurance, smart contract insurance and USD peg insurance. My question is, I mean, obviously, if you want to be prudent, you would buy into that insurance. But for those who don't, who are not willing to, or don't want to, you know, pay up that extra 5-6% that would eat into your interest profit, right? Does Anchor have any sort of contingency plan for, you know, in case any black swan event happens? Are there any contingency plans for, you know, making it up to the depositors or borrowers?
No, currently at this point, there's not. So it's kind of, you know, buyer beware in that sense. Really, you're putting your faith in the smart contracts, just like any other DeFi protocol out there. That said, you know, there are some, you know, Ozone, which has now become part of Risk Harbor, and there are some plans that are moving forward with that hopefully will be released sometime within the new year that should look a lot better for helping to protect borrowers or helping to protect people on the deposit side.
Cool. Thank you, Mr. Let's try again with Jay Crypto. Mr. Jay Crypto, you have your chance. Ryan, yeah, you want to count him out?
I'm not sure about this guy. I think he put a pinned tweet in the spaces which was relating to an NFT project. So
okay, yeah, then
I think he needs to be removed.
Then let's remove him.
Cool. Next up, I think we've got ent.ust. Do you want to come in with your question?
My question basically is, if we leave the reserve yield outside of it and basically the distribution APR, how much can Anchor sustain just from the borrow? So just purely the productive assets that are employed currently.
Can you kind of reframe that a little bit, just so I'm 100% clear on what you're asking there?
Okay, my point is, if we leave out the distribution APR and the yield reserve, how much APR can Anchor actually sustain? Basically just from the staking of BETH and BLUNA.
I think Ryan mentioned earlier in the answering a previous question that was around 17%, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that's correct. We just had covered that. Is that right?
Oh, sorry. Then I might have misunderstood what the question was. So I didn't. I heard the 17% thing, and yeah. Okay, so that's just purely from the staking rewards from the assets provided, right?
Correct. The way it works is there's a utilization ratio that incentivizes borrow side to match the deposit side.
Well, if you're referring like solely about the staking rewards and nothing about the borrowing interest, which also takes up a significant portion, well, even if that were to be removed, it would still be around like, yeah, around like 10%, just making quick calculations.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry. Last thing, and I'll let somebody else. Is there any Google Sheets about this? I actually tweeted earlier, and if not, probably I'll try to make one, but I don't have all the aspects about it, or like any sort of analytics regarding this, like pure numbers regarding the generation fees and all that.
So there's docs, which you can go to when you go to Anchor, and you can go into the docs that talk about how all this stuff works. Really, really great stuff to read through. And I've been intimate with Anchor for a while, and I still reference it myself, not gonna lie. There's just a lot of moving parts here. And we're also a little bit of cool stuff we're doing. We're working with Flipside to hopefully get some more data to create maybe a more analytics-based page so we can see some of this data more in real time.
Yeah, I was going to say Flipside Crypto is probably a good place to go if you want to get access to on-chain data. And, you know, people have already built out queries around stuff like, you know, the yield reserve and how that's progressing over time. So that might be a good place to check out ENT.
Okay, thanks. I'll let you move on. Talk to you later.
Cool. Thanks for your question. I think we've got David next up. David, do you want to come in with your question?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my question. Sorry to keep asking about the yield reserve, but to maybe take it one level deeper, it sounds like a lot of the assumptions right now are based on the deposit of productive assets like Beth and B-Luna and potentially B-Sol and so on. One thread that I've seen lately is like with the MIM-UST partnership, my understanding is that because there's so much leverage going on, it's a bunch of UST coming in that's going into deposit, but there's no corresponding productive assets to support it. So my understanding, let me know if it's wrong, is that it's a bunch of UST coming in that's getting paid interest, but there's nothing supporting the yield reserve. Is that understanding correct? And like, how does that work if MIM continues to take off and there's just more UST coming into the anchor? Thanks.
I mean, yeah, you're understanding it partially correct, I would say. And fundamentally, yes, the mechanics are you need deposits to be matched with borrow.
Did you guys lose Nate? Can you guys hear him? I can't hear him for some reason.
I also can't hear him.
No, same for me. We lost.
Is there anyone else on the anchor side who can come in on that question? Ryan or Ian?
Yeah, just checking on Nate. Right, with the recent MIM-UST thing and then a bunch of UST deposits flowing in, yes, like as Nate said, it's partially correct, but there are other things to consider. And starting with the correct part, I'll say, yeah, the ends don't meet as of right now, where like the UST that comes in doesn't really contribute to the yield that's being generated and given out. So, but like other thing to consider is like the protocol itself is not just static. Like there will be constant improvements submitted from the community, and then what will be used to improve the core protocol. And now that people realize that, now that I think everyone in the community realizes there are better stuff to be, well, potentially better mechanisms to be implemented, especially regarding this end stop meeting issue. Like, I believe I have like great.
And Ryan, I mean, you know, Jack Dorsey is not that big on Web3, right? Probably he was listening to the spaces here and he said, no, come on. 20% on a stablecoin, not possible. And he shut it down.
Yeah, some of the other DeFi lending and savings protocols are trying to shut us down.
Yeah, they hacked the space. I agree.
I think we'll wait a little bit for some more people to trickle in. Was I kicked? Did anyone get any of what I was saying about Abracadabra, or were we all kind of trapped?
No, you were off.
All right, so I think we'll address that right when we get some more people back on here.
I think Ryan was in the middle of talking about something when halfway through when we dropped, but who knows?
Yeah, give it a minute here. We're back up to like 150 plus. So
talking about the magic on Abracadabra happening, and they're not even live on the DGEN box. That will be fun.
I know. I watched. I'm sure you guys probably all saw the Congress tweet with, I forget who it was from Congress, was like, and you've got magic internet money. It's literally called magic internet money. And you're going to put your faith in that? And I just had to laugh because, right, it's got more backing than the US dollar, right?
Yeah, it's wild. I was thinking of how interesting would it be to just rename UST to something else. I mean, we have the universe's tripper dollars, or was it? In that direction, right? Maybe we should implement
it. I think we could double it. I mean, we're talking 10 billion soon. Maybe we need just to rename it to get up to like 50. All right, I think I will start talking about Abracadabra again here. So what I was saying is, you know, there's two different strategies on there, and I know Danku, you're extremely familiar with this. And so one is just borrowing against UST, right? That has nothing to do with AUST. What they launched is the Cauldron Degen strategy, which is what is looping over AUST to, or looping over the shuttle to deposit an anchor. And so, yeah, we have seen, according to Flipside, it looks like just yesterday alone, a majority of that was MIM Abracadabra. So yeah, if that continues, right? And I think people think that things happen in a vacuum, right? And we've seen this yield reserve question come up before in the past, right? Yeah, if we just assume that we're not going to be building things out on Anchor to help bring in more deposits, and we're just going to sit here and as a community allow the deposits to be hijacked in that kind of way, right? And I don't even think hijack's the right word. It's, you know, the protocol is being used the way it was supposed to be used. It's an open, decentralized protocol that allows anybody, any protocol, to come in and put deposits in. It's doing exactly what it was supposed to do. And so, yeah, I think making sure as a community that we're looking at ways to create even more new yield sources as well on top of this, I think that is really what we need to be looking at.
And yeah, just continuing on with the other like response I've been having. So like, I believe like community driven protocols, like when they find an issue, they usually end up finding a resolution for that issue. So yeah, I believe like as a community, like there will be consensus on like what sort of, let's just say, modifications would be required. And so like one of the things that maybe is worth considering is a lot of the deposits, it's just like sitting there, and then it's very liquid, which means like, if depositors think like UST, if there's like a greater opportunity to utilize their stable coin, they immediately move out. So those current mechanisms has allowed like these loopings to occur. But perhaps we could change how we see deposits a little. We still want to keep deposits as simple as possible, like just put in money and then just like consider it as like just put in money and then just put out money. It's not money, but it's stable coins. It's put in stable coins, put out stable coins. But if there would be some mechanism to lock in those deposits for like a certain amount of period, then that would increase the utilization of the capital that's locked in. So in that case, like just deposits wouldn't act as simple, to be honest, like rent seekers, but it will be actively contributing to the protocol efficiency.
Yeah, and I think as community members, we need to look hard on that, right? And think about how we do that, staying true to being able to keep it simple. But yeah, making it so that these things that aren't maybe necessarily benefiting.
Did we lose BitNate again there?
I've been getting on and off all the time.
Yeah, it seems Twitter has not a good day today. But I don't know if we should still move on with T5 Luck and see if Nate is coming back.
See if you can bring us some luck.
What we need is we need to focus people on very short and concise answers so they can get their message across before they get disconnected.
Maybe we need to get Del up in here then, eh?
Just like a two-word answer, yes, no, or something like that.
Cool. If I look, do you want to come in with your question?
Go ahead, Ryan.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah, I honestly also getting disconnected all the time. I don't know what's wrong with Twitter, but nevertheless. So I was really impressed by the Anchor protocol when I first found it, and I found it by early Dan Quar videos. Thank you for this. So the slogan of Anchor is pretty powerful: earn 20% sustainable yield on stable coins. And I have a question out of kind of this powerful slogan, guys. So considering you have such nice and powerful thing which absorbs new users into the system, which basically brings new lunatics, are you planning any new marketing path, any new marketing ways to just spread the word about Anchor and really make it to the masses? So the mass adoption of Luna and Terra ecosystem kicks in, because you are basically, guys, are the flagman of the Terra ecosystem right now. So are you planning any marketing?
Are you calling us the Four Horsemen? We have got, I don't know about marketing per se, but there are plans, and I think Ryan can probably talk a lot. I think he tweeted about it last week, about moving Anchor across into different platforms. I'm not sure if it's traditional marketing, but expanding what they call the target addressable market is one of the key areas that they're focused on. And hopefully Nate and Ryan and even Zion, I'm not sure if he's wants to speak about this. I'm not a marketing guy, but yes, getting into different areas is definitely, oh, here he comes.
I'm here. Hopefully I don't get kicked again. I'll try to keep it short because I seem to be getting kicked off. No, like, marketing is a complex thing, right? And there'd be so much spillover in actually what we consider direct marketing. It's definitely more about expanding the protocol reach, just as Ian was saying, right? And
he's dead again. Okay, so did that help answer your question? I'm just trying to keep the answers short because we're having a lot of challenges connecting and reconnecting.
Yeah, I generally understood what you guys mean by marketing. Basically, you just want to expand on other chains. For me, marketing for DeFi protocols is like reaching to people who are not yet into the DeFi, like people who are looking for investments for right now. Like there are some people who are paying their tax advisors to provide 8% yearly yield on their investments. And like if you manage to market the Anchor protocol to these people, I think they will truly kick in.
Yeah, we have to be very careful when we start marketing at that level, educating different people, mainly because what is financial advice and what is not financial advice is one of the key things, as everybody is aware. But yeah, talking to registered financial advisors, there are some who are aware, but it's a good idea. And it's just a matter of what kind of hot water we can get into if we can actually, talk to those kind of guys in there. But typically people discover us, as most DeFi protocols work that way. We don't go out and they discover.
Okay, thank you. I understood your position.
I think what's interesting for me about Anchor as well is you don't need people necessarily going direct to Anchor. I think that's what Ian was saying, is that you can do this through partnerships, through, integrating with, and I think this is what Matt spends a lot of his time doing, right, is trying to build partnerships with, whether it be fintech applications or centralized exchanges, for example, where you can essentially have Anchor under the hood doing what it does, and let those third party companies kind of white label it with their own branding.
Exactly. And we are actually, I don't know who approaches who, but those kind of conversations are definitely happening.
Ian, let me also ask you, but also then the question here from a retail perspective, Ryan Lyon, I need to call you always now Ryan Lyon because we have two Ryans here. In terms of how do you see marketing, maybe quickly from your perspective, for Web3, right? Because I'm myself personally a big fan of the good kind of word spreads itself, right? There is no marketing either once people understand it. Like for Terra Luna, a lot of people are always saying, there is no marketing. Well, it's now a top 10 coin without marketing because just good work pays off over a long time. I don't know if it's just my retail perspective or if you, Mr. Ryan Lyon, see it similar or you're more on the side, yeah, let's do advertisements before we move on to the next one.
It's a tricky one, isn't it? I think, as you say, you know, maybe Terra hasn't been at the forefront of let's say, big crypto influencers' minds. I think, you know, I've been trying to make the point that I think part of that is because, you know, Terra and TFL haven't paid influencers to talk about their product. They're making products that speak for themselves. I think, and then word of mouth has done a lot of work to get the word out there around things like Anchor and Mirror, which have got great kind of ubiquitous use cases.
Yep.
So it's a tricky one. It's a tricky one because it would be good to get people to see this, a wider audience. But
can I just chime in for a sec? I don't know if you've covered this, but fundamentally, we should not be marketing Anchor ourselves. Starting from scratch, trying to go to the retail investors, just nonsense. What we should be doing is partnering with other institutions who already have the retail customers and letting them market to their clients. So fundamentally, go to the wholesalers and offer them the product in their portfolio of different things that they can offer to their retail clients. They have the clients, they have all the different marketing, they have tons of that.
Yeah, I think we might have lost Ian there, but I just wanted to add on to what he was saying there. Yeah, I think, you know, one of the big things in crypto and just Web3 is like, you know, really taking advantage of the people that are already in the DeFi ecosystem. Because one thing I've realized is, you know, it's really hard to bring in someone that has really no conception of what DeFi is and kind of onboarding them, as I'm sure a lot of us have tried to do with family members of ours or, you know, friends. It's just challenging to try and have them wrap their head around things and trust, you know, something to put their money into it, you know, as something like a savings account. So I think Ian's spot on with this, you know, targeting institutions that already have retail investors and having them market that to their customers is probably the right route, at least in the short term. And then maybe down the line, we can come up with some more creative ideas as well.
Definitely great points all around there. Thank you. I think we've got Zulian lined up for the next question. Do you want to come in and ask a question, sir?
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me. Thanks for taking time. Following up on that marketing, I think a lot of other apps are actually doing that already with like Alice Finance and stuff. But kind of going in on that, if MIM is already bringing in a lot of borrow or earning side pressure, how much of a priority are other assets like BSOL, BATOM, BDOT to be incorporated so that there can be better yields on Anchor, or like how much of a priority solving that is? Because I feel like the growth on Anchor has been pretty good. There's no reason to do any extra marketing as it's been growing pretty intensely. Like 10 billion in a year is kind of ridiculous compared to any other startup. So when we're looking at long-term growth and like really keeping Anchor as a long-term protocol, how much of a priority is actually the borrow side?
Well,
growing that, yeah.
So 10 billion is just the start. We have to get to 100 billion. And you know, the first 10 is challenging, but we need to go out there because we don't need to, but fundamentally we have a
no way.
We lose him again. me and you, Duncan, we've just got really stable connections here, but everyone else is struggling.
I don't know what's going on. I've been on other Twitter spaces where this happens and it just plagues the whole thing. Must be a week like this. But yeah, I think we're just going to try to keep going here.
Yeah, just remember, I'm a developer, not a marketing. And every time I speak about marketing, I get kicked. I think that's God's message to me.
Yeah, it is. The universe is saying, we're in DeFi. We don't fucking market.
Yeah, but I guess that kind of goes back to my question on how much is a priority on developing the borrow side to have more yield that's kind of growing the treasury versus just growing the earn side?
I think it's a number one priority. I think that, and from the community as well, I think we need to rally around this and really come together on this. I think we'll drop a little bit of alpha here since there's been so many questions about it, right? Anchor is going to go cross-chain. And, you know, with Wormhole, there's tremendous opportunities to be able to build a user interface that is somewhat chain agnostic so that on the back end, the contracts point in the right directions and the user doesn't even have to think about whether they're on Ethereum or Terra or where they're at. And that's where we need to be going. And that will help facilitate a lot more borrowing.
Can I ask, just as a follow-up to the last AMA that we had, Ian gave us a bit of an update in terms of where you were on BSOL, and that was in the middle of audit. Has there been any progress on that at all?
Ryan has a little bit of alpha to share here.
Yes, audit and testing, they're taking quite a while. But if you go search really hard on testnet, I believe you can find some contracts that, you know, have some of the stuff. So it's like a treasure hunt now.
So it sounds like we're not too far away then, Ryan.
So we've been doing a lot of testing and other integrations. So you've also been doing a lot of testing. And it's just that those are quite difficult to find, and it's not really like there's no good interface to properly see those. Hence, I believe there's a lot of questions around this. But it is like ongoing very rapidly. Also, be note that just bringing yield bearing tokens, not just for the tokens itself, but the yield as well, over into different blockchains, you've got to consider that this is something that's like the pinnacle of cross-chain. You're essentially building an asset that doesn't live on a single chain, but it lives on multiple chains, and not just for the asset, but also for the yield.
Okay. Thanks for the answers, guys, and Julian. I hope that partially answers your question. You managed to squeeze a couple of bits of alpha out of the team there, so it's a great question. Just going to move on to the next speaker here. I think next up we've got Matana House. And sorry to the guys that are queued up. Try and get to all of you.
Hey, so I just you know, I wanted to get back to just the yield reserve question and the MIM strategy, and certainly get new things are being worked on to get this more in balance. But I'm just trying to better understand this, and this seems like a pretty core, you know, an essential component here. Is the yield reserve stable, and is there likely to be any reduction in this MIM strategy, which it sounds like is, you know, over time reducing the yield reserve to some degree. And, are there, what are the actual, potential options that, Anchor is looking at to, incentivize the borrow more? Cause that's probably what's needed. Just trying to understand that picture better. It's kind of been, talked around here a little bit, but I just kind of really wanted to dial in on that, so appreciate it.
We're gonna all be experts on yield reserve by the end of this call. I'll dial into it one more time. I mean, I don't think you could get any more incentivized on borrow, right? Like, you are getting paid to borrow. That's unheard of. It's really about making,
but that's a temporary phenomenon, right?
It's a temporary phenomenon for now, yes.
So, I mean,
it is sustainable because we get more interest, or we get more yield than we're paying. So as far as that component, it is sustainable because we're getting 12 and we're giving one.
Question. What you're referring to is being incentivized with Anchor Awards, right? Or am I incorrect there?
I wasn't talking about the Anchor Rewards. I was talking about the actual borrow yield, which can go positive.
Okay. I mean,
staking returns, right, are what are powering this whole mechanism.
Yeah, basically, just to clarify, I think if I'm understanding both of you guys correctly, basically what Ian is saying is the borrowing demand, you know, although the deposits are increasing, the yield reserve, I'm sorry, the borrow side is outpacing, and Ian, correct me if I'm wrong here, but it's you know, it's still outpacing like what we need to pay out from a deposit perspective. So it is sustainable in that respect. Is that what you were saying, Ian?
I was saying that the actual borrow side takes care of itself. There is obviously the reserve where the borrows aren't equal to deposits. And that's what I think Ryan mentioned earlier, that we are stable at 17%, I think is what he was what he said earlier. But that's where we are at the moment. So we might, so again, as you said, we may need to lower the deposit yield to stabilize, but it's a function of borrowing versus lending, earning. And at the moment, as a team has said, we are trying to encourage more people to borrow, and because that is ideal thing. But yes, with MIM, if we get more and more of that kind of stuff, then there are, you know, the yield will get taken.
Yeah. Ian, can I add there from, or Nate, from my perspective, or just as an out, or from looking from outside, and when I'm talking to people, and also kind of explaining them Anchor Protocol, this is a fair question, right? I think it's good that it's raised. I can just add, and you as a team can also correct me how I see this. So we as Lunatics, right, we have been accustomed that we get paid for borrowing, which is wild and should not be the case in the real world, right? Fine. How I see Anchor Rewards is more right now that Anchor Protocol is giving away governance right of the most important and core protocol of Terra itself with the 20% for, let's say, taking a period of time of onboarding more B assets, right? So it's basically exchanging governance rights for future yield. That's how I see it, because the more B assets are coming, the easier it will be for the protocol to sustain itself, right? That's how I see it right now. I think you're right now at a base where we are almost at zero, right? And it's decreasing more and more because more and more B assets are coming, right? So that's how I see it right now in terms of the borrower needs to be paying something, and it's impossible that somebody can borrow money without paying interest, and we are paying interest. But right now, because the protocol is still hungry for new B assets, the amount of Anchor that it's giving out is high, but this will be also reduced over the next years, right? Because it's a finite supply. So this was just how I usually think about it. I don't know if this makes sense, or if you guys say now, because you are also being working with the protocol, say no, that makes no sense, right?
That's a very good answer.
And Nate wanted probably to answer, but he dropped again. And then it was awkward silence. So we are really the stable coins, Ryan. It feels good. I mean, you are the pound, I'm the euro, right? It seems that works
out.
We
need to work on getting those currencies into Anchor itself as earnable currencies, right?
Oh, I don't know. Can you reflect on my point so that I don't look like an idiot here? Nobody wants to answer.
I think you made it. I think you made a great point. Thank you. I think Ian confirmed it as well. So, yeah, absolutely. I mean, ultimately, you know, Anchor needs to find its feet, but it's got a couple of years to figure out how to move on from paying Anchor incentives to, you know, sustainable, to becoming a safe, sustainable platform.
Feels better now. Thank you for answering.
I think we've got a couple of people lined up here. So I think it's Tim next. And then after Tim, we've got Token Paddock. And then we've got Mr. Pantera lined up as well. So Tim, come in with your question.
No, not me.
Hello? Sorry, I was running on a treadmill. So just a quick question. I deposited this morning into Earn, like say 1500. And on the after the deposit went in and everything looked fine, it went from 1500 to like 1294. So I was kind of confused on why. Like, I feel like I lost money by depositing 1500 into Earn, or am I just not understanding how it works?
It's AUST.
Yeah. So this is a confusing point for anyone who uses Anchor for the first time. I had the same problem when I first used Anchor. When you deposit UST into Anchor, you receive a token called AUST, which is not pegged one-to-one with with UST. So essentially, whatever you see within the Anki UI in the earn section, that is representative of what your AUST, which you're holding in your wallet, is worth. So I hope that answers your question.
Oh yeah, no, that makes sense. I just didn't want to. I just felt like I'm like, how did I just lose money? That doesn't make any sense. But that takes care of my question. Thanks.
Yeah. So the current rate is, I think, one UST is equal to up. Is it one UST? Oh, one AUST is worth 1.15 to 1.16 UST. So it's just a representation of what your the UST that you've deposited. So you didn't lose money. Thanks. Don't worry about it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tim. Good luck with your anchor journey.
Thank you, sir.
Cool. So I think next up is Token Paddock. Token, do you want to jump in here?
Yeah, sure. Thank you. Hello to everyone, Anko community. I'm very pleased to be part of the Anko community. I'm also holder of Anko token and Luna, of course. My question is about the future of Anko. It's, are we going to see Anko as a multi-chain platform? Because I see multi-chains just being the future of Web3 and all this development. And I think it's the key for Network 3.0 in it. So what's the plans for Anko in future?
Okay. So we already are multi-chain. You can use your Ethereum and soon Solana and I think Atom tokens, which are off-chain, as collateral. As Ryan and Nate said earlier, which maybe when they got disconnected, I think 100 times, the plan is to bring Anko to those platforms. When, where, how, we'll leave that alone. But yes, that is the plan of bringing Anko there, because we think we've got a great thing. It helps UST be the standard, which we think is a great thing. So yes, is the answer. I'm not going to talk about when, but that is the answer. We are going to go multi-chain.
Thank you for your answer. And I was looking forward for that.
That's great. I'm just glad I can finish an answer without getting disconnected.
Whoop, and there he got disconnected, right?
No, I'm
right,
just kidding, just kidding.
Well played, I agree on you. But I don't know, Ryan Lyon, if you see it the same, but for me, Orion is the one who also makes Anko multi-chain in terms of it's already on Ethereum. It's even multi-coin on the stablecoin side because of Orion. And then Nexus is even creating now ETH Nexus, which is native Ethereum, which can be onboarded then onto Anko. So those are the alternatives which are already live. Maybe not that visible, but they're out there. And Orion is even not on Ethereum. They are going on more and more EVM chains like Binance Smart Chain, all of those, which I think is the next step, which helps.
Yeah, and don't forget our fiat brothers. We've got Cash, we've got Alice. I think Capapult is also planning to do stuff in the dark colds of Sweden, or I think that might be Euro as well. So there are people talking about doing it with regular fiat as well. So not just change.
You're becoming very USy because in Sweden they don't have the Euro, they have the Krone. But thank you.
Yeah, that's what I said. Okay. I said that they were going to do their Norse currencies. You know, but anyway, go Euro. Sorry.
Hey, I got a question for you guys. I stake ANC on KuCoin, and today it seems like they've removed staking off the entire app. Do you guys know anything about that?
You'd have to contact KuCoin on that. KuCoin has its share of issues. I'll keep it at that.
Okay, no problem. Thanks, guys.
Cool. Thanks for jumping in with your question there. I believe next in line we have Pantera. Evan, how are you, sir?
Hey, everybody. Good morning. It's a very busy day at the bagel shop. I had to jump into a janitor closet to get some quiet to ask my question. So I'm just curious about like how validators, especially Terabytes, can apply to become BLUNA stakers. Like when someone goes to stake their Luna into BLUNA, is there like a form or something that we totally missed about that? And then as sort of a follow-up there, do you guys see a future where there might be a way that people don't really need to jump through hoops to change validators? Like they can just kind of, if they have staked Luna with a validator, just kind of change that into BLUNA. And I understand there's a bunch of technical hurdles that I don't understand. So thanks for your answer in advance.
Okay. So the validators chosen to stake BLUNA is a Lido operation. They have their own quality bars and gates and all that kind of stuff. My understanding is they've done two rounds of intake and they're potentially doing a third is what they mentioned. I don't know where that status is, but that would be a Lido question. As far as using your or making it easier to do those kind of things, there is liquid staking, I think, on Lunar X, and I think there's some other people doing that kind of stuff, which may help. But I'm not sure. Maybe Nate, if he's still around, can help with that one. Or Zion, he might know some stuff around the validator network. He's one of the key validators as well.
Yeah, I think you pretty well touched on it there, Ian. I mean, that's kind of my understanding as well, is there is some form that, you know, validators had to fill out with Lido, and that already happened, I guess. And I don't know if, I think I'm going to try and reach out to them as well, Evan, and just see, like, you know, for all of us validators, like, how does that process actually look? Because yeah, I think they haven't really changed those validators in quite some time, if I'm not mistaken.
Right. Okay. When Lido AMA? Thanks, guys.
It's definitely been several months since the last round of intake of Lido validators. I do remember that happening. I remember SmartStake being added there. I think we saw the proposal, the governance proposal, go through on Anchor recently, which was to even out the BLUNA distribution amongst the Lido validators, which I think was is a really good initiative, and hopefully will flatten out the validator voting power a little bit at the top, because I know some of the biggest validators have got that much voting power through the BLUNA distribution. So that'll be interesting, and hopefully they will be willing to open up the doors to a wider range of validators again to help with that decentralization of Luna staking. So something to keep an eye out for, I think.
Yeah, and also it's been brought up before too, like, you know, Stater could come in and do the same thing that Lido does, right? And then we could have even more diversification in how these B assets are distributed across validators. You know, any yield staking optimizer could come in with a similar proposal that Lido did.
Thanks, Nate. Travis, you've been waiting extremely patiently, and please come in with your questions.
Yeah, thanks a bunch. I appreciate the time. Thanks for everything you guys are doing. Fantastic platform. My question was related to some of the cross-chain, multi-chain comments that have been made, and that's very exciting. And I'm curious to know, once more progress is made on that and a user can gain exposure to Anchor directly on these other chains, does that reduce the complexity of the on-ramp steps that one goes through? So for instance, does it eliminate the need to go through KuCoin to eventually get your UST into your Terra wallet? For instance, maybe you're gaining exposure through other wallets to the Anchor protocol. I'm just trying to figure out ways to simplify the on-ramp process.
Yeah, of course. Like if Anchor expands to like chains with a higher user base with all the infrastructure for like on-ramps. For example, like Ethereum is pretty well accessible from a variety of exchanges and has a lot of custodian support. And so like if Anchor were to expand onto Ethereum, by this I mean not just for Earn, but also for Borrows, which is different from what we have right now on ETH Anchor. Like, then yes, it will become much more easy for just regular users to onboard into Anchor Protocol.
For earners, so for people that are wanting to make deposits, you think that would smooth the on-ramp process a little bit?
Yeah, of course.
But yeah, that'd be great.
Like, to think bigger, like the focus should, my thought is that the focus should not be on just routing things through Ethereum, the focus of the ecosystem, not just for Anchor, but Terra, should be more about making direct on-ramps, onboarding to Terra much more easier, like as easy as Ethereum or even like better, because just like what we did for all of the decentralized applications, we have like a better UI compared to a lot of like Ethereum DeFi protocols. I think the collective ecosystem here can do a very good job on providing a on-ramping process that's much better than what's already out there on Ethereum. And yeah, there's already a couple projects working on those. So we'll be excited to have those once they launch.
Yeah, that's cool. Thanks for the time, guys. Thanks for the answer.
Thanks for your question, Travis. We're at the top of the hour pretty much here. So I do see a number of people lined up with their hands up. Unfortunately, we're probably not going to be able to get to you guys this time round, but it does seem that Anchor are doing regular AMAs here. So hopefully you can jump in with your question next time or reach out to the guys, the Anchor guys, either in their Telegram or their Discord. I know they're pretty responsive there. In terms of last question, Size Lord, you have the honor of the last question today. Please come in with your question, sir.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for the AMA and thanks for building this product. I wanted to come back to Danko earlier, the discussion about the yield, right? Looking at the dashboard, we have a total collateral in Luna of 5.4 billion. Assuming that you were giving up the yield, which is 9.33%, and you have a total deposit of 4.7 billion, 20%. Is it fair to assume that the Anchor team has in mind for a long-term sustainable borrow rate somewhere in the range between 7 and 11%? Is this something you have modeled in the background somewhere where you have a KPI which you're targeting? Thanks in advance.
Ryan and Zion, you're the only one who survived kind of the Twitter.
I think Ryan should take that one.
Didn't realize, yeah. So just to reiterate the question, like, is it about whether, I missed a couple of parts, but is the question more about whether the Luna staking reward rate being like 10%?
No. It's basically at the current state, the system, we're earning, as a protocol, we're earning 9.3% staking rewards on the collateral of 5.4 billion, right? We have 4.7 billion given out at a 20%. So we have it covered by slightly half our interest cost, basically. So we wouldn't need to take in 20% borrow rate, right? We could easily take in 12% or 11 or 15, something like that, at the current state. But long-term wise, when the protocol is in equilibrium, I'm sure you have some model where you have a like target borrow rate you are targeting in mind.
Let me say this, like borrow rates constantly change. And especially in crypto markets, like where borrowing demand is highly volatile, we cannot really target a specific range of borrowing interest. Because just look at other like lending protocols, such as Compound or Aave. They over the past couple of months, like they had fluctuating rates between like around 1 or 2% over onto like 15 to 20%. So no, we do not have like a numerical target, but we have a relative target where at the end, borrowing on Anchor due to the staking reward advantage that we have would always be better. Well, borrowing on Anchor will always have better rates compared to what's out on traditional money market protocols. So okay. That's like
this is a perfect,
what I have in mind.
Amazing. Yeah, this was probably the answer I was looking for. In relative terms, it's also fine. Yeah. I'm asking you like you were the governor of the central bank, right? A target. But if it's a relative target, it's fine. Thanks a lot for the answer.
Well, I like this... what you said, size in the end, in terms of, I guess, a lot of the questions also regarding the yield reserve, just my feeling, right? And feel free, I don't know if you still, I think he dropped also out. It's like, we think often, like also for the fixed 20%, like in TradFi terms, but this is all super flexible, right? I think the anchor rate is there to be achieved. And the team said from the beginning that this will be in the future fluctuating. This will be maybe in the future in will it be the future in 3 or in 10 years where 15% or 12% makes sense? Who knows, right? But that's the cool thing about this, that it will move basically like a smart contract on the algorithms, man, difficult word, saying this makes sense or this makes sense, and then it will achieve this, right? I think that's what I hear from you, Ryan Park, also that the protocol will move together for what makes sense. I think it's a good point how you phrase it in the end, Size. Like it.
Yeah, 100%. And right, we don't even know what interest rates will be. Like in the 80s, we saw interest rates nearing, you know, 17-18%, right? So at some point, I think the community might decide that it needs to be more algorithmic and based on certain market conditions where maybe it's stable for a base period of time, but readjusts every month, every quarter. I mean, the options are limitless, open. The protocol is meant to be flexible, 100% correct.
Right. So the point here is, like, it's not about predicting what the market rates would be. It's always about, no matter what the market rates are, we just beat like all other competitive rates.
No, did we also now lose Ryan at the end, truly? Or is it me?
Nah.
Oh, no, it was a single sentence.
Well, you played me. You, how can you cut so quickly your sentence? I crazy.
It was a succinct point, right? We needed to.
A literal full stop.
Cool. Okay.
Are we wrapping up here?
Yeah, I think so. A lot of technical issues. I don't think we can drag it on much further.
Yeah, it's been pretty painful, especially for you guys at Anchor, having to join, rejoin. But really appreciate you guys taking the time here today. Thank you. It's been a real pleasure co-hosting this with you. Really liking the approach from Anchor, coming out and speaking to the community regularly. So look forward to seeing everyone on the next one.
Yeah, and just to say that we look to do these every 2 weeks. I mean, the holidays will probably be the new year when we do it, and we're trying to work on time zones as well. So look forward to another one in probably about 2 weeks.
Thank you from my side as well. A pleasure, Ryan. A pleasure the Anchor team. I guess see you soon again, everybody.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was the Anchor AMA hosted by Donku and Friends, recorded on Wednesday, December 22nd, 2021. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. Sipping on a little bit of sin I've been giving, try to keep it written down so it feels like I've been living. I've been realizing a minute reality ain't got limits, going out my fucking mind, testing out the physics, stretching out the distance. For instance, let me be specific, the risk is hedge funded the business, betting on the difference, ingesting all the research, sleeping through the rebirth, sliding out feet first, sleep tight little dreamer, early to bed, early to rise with a rugged ass demeanor, taking beats to the cleaners. You know I love my t-shirts and the people who support my little dream here. Transparent cows, I gotta steer clear. 2020 going down is one fucking weird year. Take a second look around, the psyops is winning. Set the table, we just biopsy dinner.
Now, I'm gonna react to that and act like I'm telling you a personal anecdote. Something to break the tension. Something to endear myself a little bit. Something kind of embarrassing. And you guys are gonna make an awe sound. It's true. It really happened.
They got a tracker in the phone, tracking everywhere we go. And it's fine if I don't know, I already sold my soul. Getting ready, rock and roll, tip the first domino. Feeling abominable with these avalanche flows. Stop and rest on the road, gotta get where I'm going. And the rest of y'all know that we hit the ground soaring. I'll be coming for the fuckers that be summoning the trouble. Running on the double while I'm handing out the W's. Putting wins on the board every fucking day. They love me on the team because I know my fucking place. Better get in where you fit in, I'm delivering the meaning. I inherited the demons, always sneaky, never seen them. If I'm breathing, I'm reading, I'm not even being conceited. I need to see for myself if you think that I'm believing. It's the season of reason, y'all be seizing the research. I'm receiving the meaning, that shit's called teamwork.
It's not so much as so little has to do with what everything is, but it is within our self-interest to understand the topography of our lives unto ourselves. The future states that there is no time other than the collapsation of that sensation of the mirror of the memories in which we are living. Common knowledge,
but important nonetheless.
Channel Spaces.